This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu blessed us with this beautiful religion of Islam, this complete deen, this complete way of life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did that and He gave it to us for one reason only, and that is for our own benefit. As I mentioned in last Jumu'ah about what will get us freedom from the fire and entry into Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said very clearly in the ayah which we hear in every Jumu'ah as part of the Masnoon Qutbah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَقُولُوا قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا يُسْلِحْ لَكُمْ أَعْمَالَكُمْ وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَظِيمًا. Which means, all you who believe, have the taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and always speak the truth. And if you do that, what will happen? He, Jalla Jalaluhu, will guide you and will direct you to do righteous deeds, to do good deeds. And He will forgive your sins. And whosoever obeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَقَدْ فَازَ فَوْزًا عَزِيمًا. Only that person has achieved final success. Only that person will be delivered from the fire and given entry into Jannah. اللهم أجرنا من النار وأدخلنا الجنة الفردوس بغير حساب. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the fire and to grant us جنة الفردوس العالى بغير حساب. So how do we get freedom from the fire and enter into Jannah? Three things: by having taqwa, by speaking the truth, and by obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised His help for those who obey Him and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And He said that He will then direct them and open doors for them and make it possible for them and give them the opportunities to do good deeds and to please deeds that please Him. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also promised to forgive their mistakes and sins. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ease that person's path into Jannah and He will save him from the fire because he is making an effort to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The first thing to understand is that taqwa is to be concerned with obeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To be concerned with one central question in all decision making. The only criterion that we need to use. And what is that criterion? Does this please Allah? That's it. Does it please Allah? Nothing else matters because nobody else is more important than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibadah means to obey. To obey means to make choices based on the pleasure of the one we obey. To obey means that sometimes that choice may not be what we want to do, but we still do it because it pleases the one we want to please by obeying him. As the famous boxer Muhammad Ali rahmatullahi alayhi said, if anyone says that he likes to go to the gym, he is lying. He goes because he knows that is the only way to win in the ring. If you do not spend time in the gym, then you cannot win in the ring. Selective obedience is disobedience. Selective obedience is arrogance with Allah. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to do some things, but we want to decide which of those we will choose to obey. That means that we actively choose to disobey the others. That is arrogance. because we are superimposing our will on the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us believers to enter Islam fully and completely. And he said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu udkhulu fis silmi kafatan wa la tattabi'u khutuwati shaytan innahu lakum aduwwun mubin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you who believe, enter perfectly and completely into Islam in every aspect of life and do not follow the footsteps of shaitan. Verily, he is your clear and plain enemy. This shows the importance of practicing Islam in all aspects of our life, not merely in some aspects. Many Muslims display distinctly different behavior in the masjid and outside it, when they are at home, at work, or going about in society. They like to talk about the importance of Islam, but when it comes to practicing certain cultural customs, they readily disregard Islamic principles. Then when they get into trouble, they try to invoke Islam to assert their rights. Take for example what we do in our weddings. Consider what Rasulullah ﷺ told us about keeping the wedding simple and not being ostentatious and respecting the principles of Islam when celebrating the wedding. Do we follow these principles? Then when there are problems between spouses, people go to religious scholars and they ask them to explain their rights to their spouse. They forget that they got those rights from Allah, the same Allah whose laws they violated during the wedding. Now they want to invoke His authority when they are in trouble. Now this is the essence of nifaq. This is the essence of hypocrisy. Rasulullah ﷺ didn't bring different flavors of Islam, and He didn't tell us to choose whatever suits us. There is one Islam, that which Rasulullah ﷺ brought. There is no Islam based on race or nationality or geography. There is no American Islam, and there is no Indian Islam, and there is no Pakistani Islam, and there is no Middle Eastern or Arabian Islam. There is one Islam. The same laws for everyone, everywhere, for all time. It is for us to learn and follow to benefit from its goodness, and to remember that the onus of learning, the responsibility of learning, is on us. Because of the juristic principle, ignorance of law excuses nobody. Ignorance is not a defense in law. This is a legal principle holding that a person who is unaware of a law may not escape liability, will not escape liability for violating the law merely because he was unaware of its content. Adi bin Hatim At-Tai radiallahu anhu was a leader of the Arab tribe of Tai, and he was one of the Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was the son of the poet Hatim At-Tai, who was widely known for his chivalry and generosity among the Arabs. Adi remained antagonistic to Islam for about 20 years until he converted to Islam from Christianity in 630, the ninth year of Hijri. Adi bin Hatim radiallahu anhu said that he came to Rasulullah ﷺ once wearing a gold cross around his neck. Rasulullah ﷺ said, Oh Adi, throw away this idol. Then Rasulullah ﷺ recited the ayah, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورحبانهم أربابا من دون الله. They, meaning the Jews and the Christians, took their rabbis and their monks and their priests to be their lords besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إلها واحدا لا إله إلا هو سبحانه Amma yushrikun. And they also took as their deity, as an object of worship, the Messiah, Masih, son of Maryam, Jesus, the son of Mary, while they, the Jews and Christians, were commanded in the Torah and Injil to worship no one other than one ilah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, la ilaha illa hu, none has the right to be worshipped but He. Praise and glory be to Allah, far above is He from having partners that they associate with Him. Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, we don't worship our priests. Rasulullah asked him, is it not true that you obey your priests in what is permissible and what is not, even if that is contrary to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made permissible or prohibited? Adi ibn Hatim radiallahu anhu said, yes, that is true. Rasulullah said, that is worship. That is worship. Now that is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called those who follow their desires instead of the orders of Allah, He called them people who worship their desires. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَهَهُ هَوَى أَفَأَنْتَ تَكُونُ عَلَيْهِ وَكِيلًا. In Surah Al-Furqan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Rasulullah, have you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, seen that person, seen him, who has taken as his deity, as his ilah, as his object of worship, his own desire? Would you then be a wakil or an intercessor over him? Meaning by that questioning statement that Allah is telling Rasulullah not to make intercession for a person who worships his or her desires. What is the meaning of worshipping the desire? It means that when the question of obeying Allah comes, if that question goes against my desire, I will do what I desire and I will disobey Allah. That amounts to worship of the desire instead of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is evidence that we worship only Allah. Salah is the proof of our iman, which is the first and most fundamental statement of truth. قُولُ قَوْلًا سَدِيدًا. What is the first statement? أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. One who believes that statement and makes this statement and who establishes salah is a Muslim. We have only two critical needs in this life. Guidance in this life and forgiveness when we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Guidance includes being shown the right path and even more importantly, to stay on it with steadfastness and be protected from all misguidance. That is what salah does. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about salah. Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitabi wa aqimis salah. Inna salata tanha anil fahshai wal munkar. Wala dhikrullahi akbar. Wallahu ya'lamu ma tasna'un. Allah said, recite, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what has been revealed to you of the Quran, of the book, and establish as-salah, iqamati as-salah. Verily, as-salah prevents from al-fahsha, which are great sins of every kind, especially shamelessness, and al-munkar, which is disbelief and polytheism, and remembering and praising of you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is much greater, most beneficial, most greatly honored than your remembering and praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah knows what you do. My brothers and sisters, salah protects and separates the one who prays from all forms of disobedience. Salah is the tool, salah is the body armor. It is the shield and the weapon to fight shaitan and all his evil. When the person stands in salah, he is standing in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he makes sujood, he is making sajda before the throne, the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah ﷺ told us this. And that is the reason why Nabi ﷺ called salah al-miraj al-mu'min. Nabi ﷺ was taken on this journey of Isra al-miraj. Nabi ﷺ said, for the mu'min, salah is that journey. Salah is the journey to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For such a person, the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his primary concern in life. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reciprocates by easing his difficulties and forgiving his mistakes. I remind myself and you that salah is a tool, the purpose of which is to get us close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salah is the means, ta'alluq ma'allah is the goal, and tawakkul is the reward. Salah is the means, ta'alluq ma'allah is the goal, and tawakkul, trust on Allah, which results in complete peace of mind and freedom from every anxiety and cause for depression. That is the reward. For this life also, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to use salah to solve our worldly problems. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu ista'inu bis sabri was salah. Inna allaha ma'as sabirin. Allah said, O you who believe, seek help in sabr, in patience, and in as-salah. Truly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with the patient people, He is with as-sabirin. Sabr is to make the best effort. It is to tie the camel. Sabr is to make the best effort to use our intelligence, our creativity, our strength, our perseverance, our influence, our wealth, and then to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in salah and beg Him for His help. The slave does this because he knows that all his effort will work only if Allah's decision is in his favor. He knows that nothing has any power except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why does he work? Because that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned sabr before salah and said that he is with the sabirin, not simply with the musallin. Salah and dua without effort are a sham and a sign that you are not serious about success. Effort without salah and dua is to skate on the edge of kufr, because it is such people that shaitan convinces that they are self-made. Salah is the safety net that saves us from arrogance and reminds us that our effort was made also because of the guidance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and because of His help. And that it is only with His help that our effort can be effective. Finally, my brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly mentioned the connection between taqwa and success, peace of mind and tranquility and contentment. He, Jalla Jalaluhu, subhanahu wa ta'ala, told us that He helps the muttaqi in ways that he cannot imagine and becomes sufficient for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا وَيَرْزُقُهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبُ وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَالِغُ أَمْرِ قَدْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدْرًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, which means, and whosoever has taqwa, He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will make a way for him to get out from every difficulty. And He will provide him from sources he could never imagine. And whosoever puts his trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will become sufficient for him. Verily, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accomplish His purpose. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has set a measure for all things. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us His sincere slaves who place their trust in Him alone and who ensure that we do our best to fulfill the purpose of our creation by ensuring that we build our connection with Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, through the method that He taught us, which is salah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you to especially in these days of difficulty, to enable you and help you to change your lives in a way which is pleasing to Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, so that when we meet Him, that He will be pleased with us, and we ask Allah never to be displeased. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajmain bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.